Federal agent. Federal agent, backbone of today's crusade against crime. Scotland Yard, French Sûreté, American Bureau of Investigation, Royal Canadian Mounted Police. These men are joined in a modern crusade against crime. Nearly 10 o'clock of a Monday morning, as the head cashier of the Silverton National Bank stands before the president in his office, receiving his last-minute instruction.
Of course, I need not impress upon you, Mr. Austin, the need for secrecy in regard to the threatened run on the Stockman's Bank.
I will be discretion itself, Mr. Miller.
Abe Adams, who runs that bank, is my oldest friend. Some enemy of his is attempting to get this rumor started. The money I'm sending over by you will tide him over until people come to their senses.
But when they see that he's prepared to take care of them, they won't want to withdraw their money.
Exactly. Now let us run over the details once more. Britain, the bank guard, in order not to attract attention, will drive ahead of you. And you...
I don't wish to be too critical about your arrangements, Mr. Miller, but don't you think if you called up Chief of Police Long and asked him to assign a few plainclothesmen to guard...
Listen, Mr. Austin. Chief of Police Long is an old woman. His tongue is always wagging. This effort to save my friend's bank must remain a secret. If it gets out, well, people might not like it.
Oh, yes, yes, you're right, of course, but
Now, Mr. Austin, if you are afraid to drive your car containing $50,000 a matter of some half mile through the city streets, I suppose I can turn it over to the bank guard.
Oh, no, sir, not at all. I'll go. I'll go, sir. Hey, look out. What's the idea of jumping on my running board?
Quiet, you. Quiet. You see this gun? Hop in, Ed. Move over.
What are you trying to do?
You keep that gun in his side, Ed.
Right.
And don't you try yelling. Not if you want to go on living. Ed, where's that bank guard?
He just turned the corner to Stockade Bank. He looked back, but he didn't see us.
Which is his good luck.
What are you going to do with me?
Nothing. You behave yourself. My business is with that satchel full of money.
Then this really is a holdup?
It took you a long time to guess it.
But you won't hurt me?
I'm not the kind who hurts anyone, unless I have to. Now, I am going to leave you in that barn over there. You won't have to stay here long. Get that gag ready, Ed. It will be a little lonesome out there, but I'll see that your friends know where to find you when the time comes.
Now, wouldn't you just know that a fathead like Millard pull a stunt like that? He could have had half the police in Silverton to guard that money, but because he doesn't like me, he... Oh, well, it's his $50,000.
What I'm interested in is for Mr. Austin here to give me a description of the two men who held him up. As a federal agent, this bank robbery falls into my department.
Well, Mr. Anders, One of the men looked to be about 50. Quietly dressed, slim build, and I think he had a slight accent.
Accent? What kind?
Well, I was so excited, I'm not quite sure. He might have been disguising his voice.
Not much to go on. What did the other man look like?
Well, the other fellow was rather small and rather too good-looking for a man. Had sort of a womanish quality.
Well, this is certainly an encouraging start. Can't tell a thing about him. But they robbed a Reserve National Bank, and it's up to us to get them.
And there's any help we city police can give... Well, just call on us.
We'll do that. And be sure and keep us posted if you get any tips.
You bet we will.
And federal agents Fred Anders, Cyrus Moore, begin their efforts to solve this most daring holdup on a busy city street. Without a clue, they set doggedly to work, with no thought of giving up until they'd placed the criminals behind the bars. A week passed, and then...
This is the house upstairs. Hello, Chief. Came as quickly as we could. Thanks for your call.
Hello, Anders. I decided to let you examine him on the spot before we locked him up.
Right. This the man? What's your name?
White, sir. Abel White.
Well, Mr. White, how did you come into possession of that $20 bill?
It was like this, sir. Two young fellows who rented a room. This one right here, sir. Not over an hour ago. They paid a month's rent in advance, put the bags in the room, and went out.
Of course, you've gone through their things, Chief.
Sure. Not a thing.
These two fellows that rented the room, did they say when they'd be back?
Oh, no, sir.
I heard one say, sir, something about going to the theater.
And may I ask your name?
She's my wife, sir.
I see. Well, go back in your apartment and stay there. I'll watch you after a while.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
How'd you come to pick up the bill, Chief?
A bright grocery clerk spotted the serial number when White came in to buy some things. He telephoned the station.
Now, look. I'm going back to have a talk with this fellow White. It's a funny thing. His face looks familiar. I've seen him somewhere. Come on, Moore.
Okay.
Harry, did we get away with it?
Quiet. Oh, they're gone. We're safe for now. But who knows?
What do we do now?
We move to the other hideout. Don't bother to pack that theatrical stuff. We haven't any time to lose.
Open up, White. This is Officer Anders. Something wrong. Cover me as I open the door.
Yeah.
Why, the door wasn't even locked. And the light's out.
No, where's the light switch?
Watch yourself.
The place is empty.
Oh, it's my fault. I should have kept an eye on them.
They sure made a quick getaway. Things scattered all over, too.
Hey, what's this? A wig. Theatrical grease paint. English newspapers.
Sigh, I've got it. Now I know who that fella is. He's English Harry, one of the cleverest crooks from London. They told me all about him when I was over there on a case. This Harry used to be an actor, clever with makeup and wigs. He was made up as the old man who robbed the cashier.
And his wife must have been dressed up in men's clothes. You remember that high-pitched voice?
Sure. Come on. We've got our work cut out for us.
Federal agents Anders and Moore realize the job they have before them. Matching wits with one of the world's cleverest crooks. During the next 2 weeks, more and more of the $20 bills make their appearance. Then one night, near the entrance to the lobby of the city's most popular picture house, a large car is parked.
Let's pass the job up for tonight, Harry. I'm a bit nervous.
Oh, come now. You nervous? Besides, we'd have to wait another week to catch a ward in that theater.
Well, don't forget you promised this to be our last haul. Then home to England.
Righto, Nell. Our last haul. And then home.
I hope that nothing slips up.
It can't, Nell. I've laid my plans carefully. I know the inside of that theater like the palm of my hand. Where each of the help may be at a certain time. Just when the manager locks himself into his private office. It can't fail, I tell you.
Look, you can see the girl from here passing back the last of the day's receipts to the manager. He's going up to his office.
Right. Now for the last check. I tell the doorman I've forgotten my hat. Know right where I left it. Once inside, I slip up the stairs to the left. You stroll around the lobby.
I'll be there to cover your back, just in case.
Righto. Come on, old dear.
Hey, Anders.
Yeah?
Look. Is that a woman over there dressed up as a man?
Where? Oh, I see. Sai. Take a good look at that man, or woman. Remember what the cashier said about the girlish man.
Yeah. You think... Anders, it could be...
I can't tell yet, but keep an eye open. See who she meets.
Hey, Anders. That old guy just came out of the theater. He signaled to her. Look, now they're hurrying.
Yeah, they're heading for that big car.
Police! Police!
I knew it. They're army.
They started their car. Stop, I'll shoot.
Not a chance in this crowd.
Yeah, but they've gotten away.
Let's get in our car, quick.
The grim chase is on. Dodging and weaving through the traffic, the bandit car makes way for the open country. One, two, three fast police cars try to close up the distance between them. Closer and closer they creep up on the car ahead. Frightened motorists drive into the ditches to avoid being killed. Now the police cars are within shooting distance.
Are they getting any closer, Nell?
A little. One car seems faster than the other.
Well, they haven't got us yet.
Do you think they will, Harry?
No, no, no. Back up, Nell.
I know, but tonight I had the feeling...
Yes, 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 I know. I should have listened to you.
Oh.
Those shots struck the back of a car. Somebody must be using a rifle.
That one car is much closer. Can't we turn off anywhere and lose them?
I have a spot in mind. A side road. I'll turn into it. Switch off my lights and then...
Oh, they hit a tire. Harry, we'll tip over.
Yes, yes, I'm trying. I'm trying to slow down.
Harry, a truck! Driving on the wrong side! Ah!
All right, be careful when you approach that car, boys. He may not be injured and will give us a battle.
Right, Mr. Anders.
All right, come on, boys. Not so fast now. Not so fast, boys. Take it easy.
Here's the woman, Anders. She's dead. Thrown 20 feet from the car.
Oh.
And here's English Harry. Help me get him from under the wheel. Easy now. Easy,
oh.
Easy.
Oh.
Where's the money, Harry?
In that compartment behind the false front. You'll find some of the bank money there, too. Well, it looks like Nell was right. She said she had a hunch.
Take it easy, Harry. We'll have a doctor here shortly.
A doctor won't do me any good now. This was to be our last...
Oh. It was to be English Harry's last job, huh? Well, it was.
Listen for our next presentation of thrilling stories related to this modern crusade as each nation calls upon its chief bulwark against crime. Federal agents.